Hey. Good morning and happy blessings. Today we're going to have a theme called Who is There to Be Enlightened? I find it quite interesting. So let's let the body settle back and let the body relax, just letting go and be aware of following a breath. Okay. A breath that seems to be flowing in and then flowing out. Resting back. Resting back in the understanding that this is a journey of remembrance. A remembrance of what I already am. Life is complete, so there is nothing to attain. There's nothing to change or to fix, and nothing to find. What is, and it is now. Life is complete. Death is complete. Beingness is complete. So rest in awareness. Rest in what is. No matter what the appearance may be, remember it unfolds within the vastness of awareness. I listen from the heart in remembrance. I rest back in the silence that is my being. I am
You
resting in the essence
suck is
of the heart.
your unwillingness to reveal yourself.
I rest in the essence of love, and I rest in the flowing of life. All is well. Be still. So I know we had one of these enlightenment, no, beginning of the year, somewhere in there. But this has a little different, different twist on it. So, to remember that enlightenment is not something that happens to anyone. Okay? It is just about clear seeing. And that's something that you all have already done. You're familiar with it. Okay. So, excuse me, I have a little story here this morning. I know you just love the stories, eh? Okay. But it's an old story, but maybe we can look at it from a in a different way. Okay. So, I think you're all going to remember the story of the crucifixion, right? And a burial in a tomb, right? And then a rolling the stone away from the tomb, okay? And the hallelujahs of that he is not here. He has risen. He has overcome death and risen. He was resurrected, which is the concept of coming back to life after death. It is also held there with the idea of reincarnation and rebirth. So, yeah, familiar story, right? So, to crucify for the spiritual aspirant or the, yeah, that place in consciousness that seeks itself, seeks its own knowing. Okay. So for the spiritual aspirant, that space of consciousness, it is about seeing clearly and turn from thoughts and to turn inward to the reality of being. That's what we're working on here, right? It is in this way that we crucify, we execute, okay, the temptations of clinging to an ego identity. Okay. Or clinging to a belief in separation. So that's our story of crucifixion. Okay. And as we develop the devotion of turning inward and release the hold on false beliefs, that is exactly what we're doing. We are dying to old beliefs and old habits. And this is sometimes referred to as dying daily, which, as you know, every time we take a breath and turn within, okay, we're dying to the bombardment of thoughts and the temptations to remain in the idea of separation. And as we do this, as we do this turning, we are removing a power from thoughts. And that is a power that they never had to begin with. It is a power that we give ignorantly to thoughts. Okay. And then we take that devotion into the depths, into the cave, and into the darkness. Into the darkness because we are closing out the old temptations of the world. We're closing out the ideas, thoughts, and concepts of being a separate identity. And we dwell there with the truth of what is real. And we do this in the darkness. We do it away from other eyes and interruptions. We go into this silence, into the darkness. Meaning, in the stillness and the silence of the heart, where no person or duality or separation can enter. We enter that cave of stillness, of silence, of darkness. We are there, just being. And we call that most often meditation. No one can go into that cave with you, and no one can take you there. That is our own devotion. So finally, what takes place is that in our devotion and in our maturing, that stone of ignorance is rolled back. Okay. And the light begins to shine from within. So we have taken ourselves into this stillness, into this darkness. We've rolled the stone, seeking only the silence. Okay. And when there is the maturing, when it is the time, and it can be just a moment, the stone rolls away, and the light that was always there is shining. This is the, it said in scriptures, the light of the world. So, again, it is through our devotion and our love of self that we can view the experience of the crucifying, you're aware, going into the cave and maturing, and then coming out as the light. That light is always there. It's shining brightly right now. But have we all rolled the stone back yet? Okay. Or has that stone been rolled back yet? But it's in that maturing that that false identity is no more. That belief through our devotion, it is seen for what it is, a non-reality, and it is just gently laid aside. Okay. So at that point within you, there's a recognition. I've never been this body mind. And not just in the head. It's coming from the heart. It's coming from the light. It is a livable truth now. I am not this body. I am not this mind. I am as I always have been from the very beginning. Okay. So the he and the she concepts and the beliefs, they're not there. He is not there. She is not there. The idea of that being real has dissolved. And the reality of you has risen in consciousness. Meaning consciousness is knowing itself as consciousness. The you that is you and has always been you has risen. Okay. And risen from what? Out of the darkness of ignorance. Okay. And you come into the reality that the being you are is truly the light of the world. Because we have learned to no longer listen to the thoughts or believe the thoughts that would try to tempt us to believe we are nothing more than some flesh and blood and bones. No longer there. And if it does rise up, it is not given any attention as being real. So you have risen. You have overcome the death of ignorance and risen into the knowingness of what is real. And being a body mind is not real. And at that point, then we can call that the singing of the heart, the hallelujah. It has risen. And at the freedom of being released from the binding of a belief in a false identity, that's the freedom. That's the awakening. That is the aha. Okay. I've never been the thoughts. I've never been a person. That's what we call the dream, believing in seeing persons and people in separation, because there is no separation. Okay. So take a breath and be open for these next words, okay? There has never truly been a Jesus person to crucify, just as there is no personal you to crucify. And nor has there ever been a person to be resurrected. This all takes place within each and every one. Okay. This is the dream. This is what we call the dream, to believe that there are persons to be of this or a that. A dream that there could be a person that could be crucified. It has always been a dream. And a dream that there could be a person to be buried and that there could be a person to be resurrected. There is neither a person nor a God nor a consciousness requiring resurrection. No body, no mind, nothing at all that requires resurrection. So, if there were no person to be buried and risen back then obviously. There is no person to be risen now. In other words, there is no person to awaken. There is no person to reach a state of awakeness. There is no person to reach heaven or nirvana. There is no person to reach hell or a purgatory. There just is no person to be or to do anything. So, if it wasn't a human body mind back then it could not be a body mind now. The experiencing of a body being crucified takes place in mind, and it takes place in consciousness. But it doesn't take place for a person. So, if it was not a man of flesh or a woman of flesh, okay, then it was not a Jesus that had risen to attain Christhood, nor is there a Siddhartha Gautama that had attained Buddhahood. The names given are for a particular body form, but it does not make that body form person. Just as the name that the body form you are using now is not a person, the names for the body form at any time since the beginning of time has not been a person. Okay. So if that's not the story. Okay. If scripture is not the story, if there was no Jesus to attain Christhood, no Siddhartha Gautama to attain Buddhahood, then what the heck's going on? Okay. And then what is it? Right. There is not a personal you person seeking understanding. So you can lay that aside. There is no me to seek spiritual understanding. So that's laid over there. What's left? Consciousness. Okay. Now we're going to have to go back to the understanding of polarities. Okay. We had those talks a little earlier this year as well on the polarities. So we're going to take out a big long poll here. And just a refresher, the polarities are what we demonstrated as a singular rod that holds what we would call separate dualities apart, but they are all part of the same polarity, meaning that at one end of a polarity, you might have boiling hot, and down the line, as that water cools and cools and cools and cools, it goes down to the other end of the polarity into cold or possibly into ice. So that's our polarities. Nothing is ever separated, and all is together. Okay. So here we go with our polarity. First of all, remember, energy is constant, right? It is ever in the states of vibration and with varieties of different frequencies. That's what is here. That's what is here now. That's what has always been here. And within consciousness, within this field of possibilities, forms become visible. Okay. So the vibrations, the different frequencies, and what we call consciousness is that as well. Consciousness is a vibration. Consciousness is an energy. And that consciousness has different frequencies. Okay? The size of the pole, polarity. So these different frequencies can change as consciousness traverses the field of possibilities. And it does that by seeing and using the opportunities that rise up out of itself. Okay. Stay with me. Because that's what actually happens. Okay. So we do not look to have a person changed or elevated. No person up here and a person down here. We don't look for that. We don't look to be fixed, to have something fixed. What you call spiritual seeking, it is something that takes place in that field, in the naturalness flowing of life. It's just going to happen whether you're on, whether that particular spark of consciousness is on board with it or not. That is the flowing. Okay. So it is something that takes place in the field of polarities, in regarding to ignorance and knowing. Okay? Polarity, pole, ignorance, knowing. So it's something that is a natural happening. It isn't something that we make happen. Somehow, something is triggered, and we usually think that it is something that we want to do, or we want to change something, or we want to have something fixed, something better. Okay, so we are kind of programmed in thinking or conditioned in thinking that this change in moving into spiritual seeking, seeking is something that we choose personally. Okay. So those are only the thoughts about doing. I have to do the laundry. I have to read another book. I have to listen to a tape. I have to go to get groceries. I have to, I want to follow a spiritual path. I want to go get a malt, you know, whatever. We have this conditioning that, no, there is this conditioning that we take up. Okay. But what happens is something is happening at a more subtle reflection. And in the beginning, yet because of our ignorance, that is not something we become aware of. We hold the idea that I want to do this. But there's something taking place, life flowing at a more subtle level. Okay. In at a deeper inner level, something we might call a desire, a conscious desire, if you will, to actually experience what is real. What is present? Consciousness. What is flowing? Life is flowing as consciousness. Everything takes place within consciousness. Something in there, something we might call a desire, a conscious desire, there's an awareness of it, a desire to actually experience what is real. We might call that by lots of different names, but it is the desire to know myself. The desire to experience what is real, the desire to know who I truly am, and to know from within happiness and peace. Something in the flowing of life triggers the desire. It's life flowing. We just think it was our idea. Most often in our early stages, we are disconnected from the reality that we are life that is flowing. Okay. Now, it would not matter if we were at the lowest end of the polarity or the middle or three quarters up into full awareness. It wouldn't matter. Now, that lower end. And where, maybe we're still in that state of just looking out for ourselves, or we may still be in that place of unkindness for others, selfishness or uncaring. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. Consciousness has no judgment. Life has no judgment. That only happens in a dream of separation. Okay? So it doesn't matter what was taking place. Somewhere in the play, something turns. Okay? Now it may seem to have an outside motivation, but it is all coming from within. Not within a person, within life. Okay. And then that so-called seeking begins. Okay. The greatest depth desire, the greatest, deepest desire within us, consciousness, is happiness. I'd say that's the motivator. But that happiness, that recognition, that understanding, and that living of it comes as the experience of knowing I am consciousness. So then, I think we can agree that there could never have been a personhood of a Jesus person or a Siddhartha, not even a personhood of a Joel or a Muji, not a personhood for a Mary or a Stanley or Robert or Shelley. No person. No person to become enlightened. What we call enlightenment is always already there. Enlightenment is but the knowing of the self, knowing myself, knowing I am consciousness, I am awareness, I am that. Therein lies the peace, the joy, the happiness, all that the person was looking for was all already right there. Okay. So then it's already there, of course. And it's just that spark to seek that brings that truth to light. Again, no person to be enlightened. Okay. The path of enlightenment, in air quotes, is a path of consciousness maturing into the reality that I've never been a body mind, and I have never been born to be a person. I've never been born at all. I have always been what I already am. And that understanding comes at the crucifying the false ideas of personhood, meaning crucifying the ideas of being flesh, being blood, being bone. So, be it going into a cave and pulling the stone closed, or sitting under a Bodhi tree and going into deep silence of meditation, it is the same. It is the turning from the scene of duality to our nature of stillness. Turning to our nature of stillness, where finally consciousness goes into the cave, into the stillness of turning from the outer pictures, to the contemplation of what I am. It is consciousness that contemplates. It is consciousness that meditates, not a person. Okay? To the contemplation, consciousness is contemplating. I am consciousness. Pure awareness. Aware of consciousness, contemplating being consciousness. So it's all an internal affair. The crucifying, the being in the tomb, and the resurrection. It's all an internalness. Be it the Jesus idea becoming a Christ consciousness, or a Siddhartha Gautama becoming a Buddha consciousness, there still was never the Siddhartha or the Jesus to become anything. There was never the person there to become something. Okay. So the true nature of life was already there. And this nature moved and did shine forth. It is in our willingness at whatever state of consciousness where we are, it's a willingness there to give up the false beliefs of being the body mind or being a separated person. And it's from there that consciousness sees more clearly, more and more clearly. Consciousness is that which is seeing clearly. Not person. There isn't anything to awaken to. What is, it already is. Nothing new is going to appear. Okay. Nothing that is not already, it will just be recognized more clearly than before. Okay. What is already is, and there isn't a spark of light that has ever become a body-mind person. Okay. All right. So. Okay. So these are the words presented this morning. So take them into the cave and let what is speak on them. There is no one that can speak truth, but the heart will. Okay. So I hope you've enjoyed our little story with a different view. So, okay. So now we're at comments and questions.
Mary.
Comments or questions? Hi there, Ruby.
Hi.
Hi, happy you could make it.
Yeah, it was great. Oh my God. It was wonderful. I had a few questions, but I probably can't see what they are. But I checked one question, It was just trying to get clarity on polarity.
Okay.
And you said something about polarity is that is a good that when you understand polarity, then you can understand that there's no separation. Could you repeat that?
Okay.
And all the vibrations was great. That was so good.
And
The consciousness of the vibrations and the frequency.
everything is
That's
energy.
everything. I'm sorry.
Everything is energy. So everything
Yeah.
will be in vibration and movement.
Energy, that's what I mean. That's funny. That makes it clear.
So the polarities and I'll look up the titles and send them to you that we did on polarities. Titles of the audios, I'll send them to you. But the polarity is the understanding that everything, nothing is separate. Everything is in communion and in identity with everything else. So the polarity gives us the picture of why duality is not real. Because duality requires there to be something good over here, separated from something bad over there. Or that heat over here is separated from the cold over there. But in the polarity, it's just a degree of where that particular item is on this pole of polarities. So you can have that evil way down here at the bottom, and as consciousness begins to understand itself, that frequency, that vibration rises. It's in the same on the same pole, is just rising in frequencies till it gets up to the other end of the spectrum. So yeah, that's in a nutshell, that's
Thank you. That's great.
You're welcome. Anyone else? Comments or questions? Everybody's okay. Didn't ruffle too many concrete ideas. Okay.
Mary, there was one other thing that you said. It was just so beautifully, so clear. You said, but I didn't get the whole thing. You said, consciousness matures. It's just, yeah, like, and that's from evil to I just want to know, is this recorded? Can I
Oh,
review this again?
yes. And I will be sending you the link
Okay,
so
that's
that you
great.
can listen to
Perfect.
the audio. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, this was so clear. Thank
Yes.
you.
Yes, you're welcome.
Very nice.
Mary,
Yes, love.
good
Yes.
morning. What just comes to me is what I am is seeking me.
What I am is seeking itself.
Yes.
Right. It's consciousness coming into the realization I am consciousness. And one, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I too was attracted to what you were talking about, consciousness maturing.
Yes, that is a way, yeah, that is a way to put it.
It I can see that happening. It kind of grows. I don't know. It
Well,
yes, it gets more stable or something. I don't know. Mature. I like that word.
I feel what happens is that there is in our devotion to knowing the self that the shedding of the old, as Muji puts it, the old regime, we shed the old ways. And that is maturing. It's like when you were a child, you don't do the things you did when you were a child. There was a maturity. You just let those just kind of fade away, pass away. I kind of look at it the same way that in our meditations and in our silence, that in and again in that devotion, that we too are laying the things of childhood away. We're laying aside that we're coming into a maturity of knowing. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It always amazes me how your talks I want to say meet me
Cool.
where I am each week. That's the best way I can put it. Yeah, it's like all week I've been like, what am I? What am I? What, who, yeah, I don't know. The more I am devoted to that, the answers, not answers, the knowing comes from a new place within me. It's very lovely, but it's all together, isn't it?
Yes.
We're all together. Each,
Nothing is
yeah,
separate.
yeah, yeah, yeah. It's lovely. Yeah, thank you, Mary.
Okay. Anyone else?
I have this idea. Because when you were talking, first of all, when you started with
Sorry.
the story of the, what was that, the resurrection,
The crucifixion,
the
the
crucifixion and
burial in the
the,
tomb, and
yeah, and I was getting it, but at the end you brought it all together, and it you could just see it. See what you're crucifying. It was just lovely. So you tied it up at the end. Did you see what I was saying from the beginning? Yes, I did. So
This
thank you for
is
that.
what we are doing every day. And I can look at that story with a totally different understanding that there no person there, that this is a story, this is what you do. This is what you do to have that awakening, but that there is no you to do it. You shut the me aside, and then all that's there is consciousness unfolding. That's all that's there. Okay, beautiful. Well, We can call this one complete. Yes, anybody else? All set?
Thank you.
Yeah, you can always send me an email or a text if you have a question. Okay, so we'll call this one complete and let us pray. Most beloved, thank you that as I see the fallacy of thoughts, they are crucified. Most beloved, thank you that as I close the door on thoughts, I rest from a dream world in the velvet darkness of inner solitude. Thank you, beloved, that as my eyes open to clarity, I am aware of the light of my being, resurrected and shining in awareness.
Om Shanti, Shanti,
Amen. Namaste.
Namaste.